blessed evening. Thank God for this passage that we're going to consider this evening. Indeed, it is a timely reminder for us. I believe all of you are aware today you are chosen your leaders. You're still young, you cannot vote yet. But your parents went to cast their vote, and that is to choose the next leaders of this country, of this nation. Leaders are important. They, in a country, in a nation, they are the one who lays the path, the plan, the design. They are not only thinking of the economy, but also of the comfort and the help of individual citizens. And they are involved in caring for the sick, for the health of everyone, education for children, strengthening culture, and the desire to unite one another. That is, those are just some of the few things that leaders would do. In fact, they have to also establish the defense of the country. They have to have some kind of trade to other nations in order to make the country sustainable, and that you can continue on to survive, even though in the midst of these tariffs you can still go on because you have many friendly nations around you. Leaders must do all these things. That's why it's important to choose good leaders. Leaders that really are not just good in talking, but also in action. And leaders that would implement, not just promises. Leaders that would make everyone be in the nation to prosper, not just a select few, but for all people. Whether they are in the lower middle class, in the society they should have all will benefit the programs and the plans of the government, leaders. And even at home, your parents are your leaders. The Lord commands every one of us to honor our father and our mother, and that is to submit to them. They are leading us, guiding us. When we were young, when we were still toddlers, in the primaries, we know not what to do. And so we ask and we are guided by them. They are our leaders. In schools, you have leaders. You have prefects. You have some people who are assigned to lead a certain group or class. In the workplace, you have leaders, supervisors, managers, CEOs. You will always have leaders. You cannot just stand alone and say, I don't want anyone to lead me. I don't want to lead also anybody. That is impossible. You cannot live as an island. No man is an island. And also a Christian. You cannot be a lone ranger as a believer. You have to have some kind of a pastor, a leader, a spiritual leader that will help you to continue on, move on to your spiritual growth. You cannot just say or be like a hermit, go to a certain cave, stay there, and read the Bible for myself, ask for God to reveal everything to you, and that's all. I don't need to be involved with people around because I don't want to, you know, rub shoulders, and I don't want to have some frictions with other people. There are always leaders in our lives, and we need to acknowledge that someday, somehow, you'll be also leaders. But we have a wonderful leader introduced to us in this passage. And in fact, this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we know of this title, Christ Who Leads. Christ Who Leads. In this chapter, we are now almost at the end of the book of Exodus. And we know that previous to this, we have the giving of the law in Exodus 20. And we have also, previous to this passage, we have a passage that commands them to observe feasts. So this is to remind them that they are covenant people. And if you talk about covenant, you probably have known that there is this, what we call the suzerainty covenant. It may be quite heavy or difficult word, but it just simply, there is this Lord, Master, and we are servants, and He will do everything for us. What we have to do is just to follow and obey Him. That's the relationship that we have. For the fact that people now are not able to do other things except to submit to God because of our total depravity. So in this account, we have the promise of God to assure and secure and give the promise to the people that they will end up in the promised land, in Canaan. And in the land of promise, they will be led by an angel. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. What a wonderful promise. The word angel here, of course, is the description of one who is a messenger. So there are commentators who would think this as just one of the great angels, an archangel, or one of the important messengers that God sent in order to lead the people out in the wilderness to end up in Canaan. But we have here if you have your King James Bible with you, I think you will notice that the translators make a capital A, angel, right? How about your translations there? You look at your Bibles. Do you have capital A, right? In this, the translators of the King James translators understood this as the Messiah. You have to understand that in the Hebrew letters, there are no capitals, capital letter, no capital letter, no small letter. Okay, I think you're aware of this. So if they have to translate, they just have to translate it as a small letter. But they understood this as referring to Christ, the Messiah. And he says here, this angel will be sent by God Himself, the Lord, and He will be the one to be there before them, the idea of before them, before their face, in front of them, to lead them. He will be leading them. He is ahead of them to keep them. And the word here to keep is to guard them, to make sure that they are protected, to make sure that nobody harms them, to make sure that they are preserved, keep thee in the way, and to bring thee, to make sure that they will end up in the place where God has prepared for them. For indeed, that place that God has promised is a place that is already prepared by God for these people. So when we talk of Christ as the one who leads, Christ who leads, we have this sufficiency in His leadership. He leads sufficiently. When we have Him as our leader, we are sufficient. We need not other leaders. We need not to consult the world. We need not to consult other people. We need not to consult other religions. We need only the Lord Jesus Christ. I sent an angel before thee. It is God sent. It is the Lord who sent this angel. And this angel is no less than the Son of God, of course, in His pre-incarnate state. He was not yet a man during this time. But He was, of course, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb that was slain even before the foundation of this world. Sufficiency is what we need in leadership. Because if their leadership or the leaders are not sufficient for us, we need to consult others. We need to refer to other people. We need to source out other information or guide or procedure or other things in order to know better, but we have the sufficiency in Christ. And I pray that as young people, you know that it's only Christ that is sufficient for you to lead you in the way, to lead you in the way in all things. You may think that, oh, it's Christ who will lead us in our spiritual way. It's Christ who will lead us in our growth, in our spiritual growth, in the church. But when we talk of academic, when we talk of going to work, when we talk of deciding for our own things in this world, what to do, what job must I have, or what degree must I take, it depends on what are the needs of the world, what are the demands in these days. We don't need to ask God. Please understand that it is only the Lord Jesus Christ alone that can lead us. That's why when you choose a school, when you choose to go abroad, when you choose to go to a certain kind of degree or a course or a job, you have to pray. You have to ask God. It's not just because it gives you a big salary. It's not because it is comfortable. It's not just because it is near to your home. It's not just because I like this place. It's not just because this will give me some perks or whatever things that I will receive at the end of the year. It is not about that. As Christians, we know we have to know that it is of God. I send an angel before thee, and for them they have to be sufficient. This is the way. We know that in the sacred commentary in the book of Hebrews, it was noted that these people were offending Christ. So it means that though Christ was the one who led them, though Christ was the one who showed them the way, they keep on murmuring, complaining, questioning. They were not satisfied. They thought it was not sufficient for Christ to lead them. And when God, the Lord, gave them the signal to go that way or this way, they were always asking, why? Why? They should have thanked God and praised Him that indeed it is God who knows the way. Is God leading us? Is God leading you? An angel before thee. Is Christ before thee to lead you in the way? Is Christ keeping thee in the way? So we have here the assurance of the Israelites in those days. The assurance that indeed they will end up in the land of promise. The assurance that God has prepared a place and therefore they just have to follow. Sufficiency in Christ. They should have known that it was the Lord who sent Christ. And because it is Christ who leads them, is God Himself, they will not seek for other ways. They will not seek for other leaders. They will not seek for other opinions. They will just follow and obey Christ, the angel. Not only that, here we have the sufficiency, they have the sufficiency in Christ. In verse 21, we have here to take note that this sufficiency is a form of assuring them that if you will obey and keep my word, surely you will be protected. You will be guided. The Lord will be with you. So it is a specific way. When God leads a person, yes, He is sufficient, but He's sufficient to lead the way which is according to His ways. It is specific. It's not just because I want this Lord and lead me. You cannot demand and ask the Lord to lead you wherever you want to go. God will lead you to His way. In fact, this way is a narrow way. It is only one way. That's why for Israelites before, they have to follow God. They have to submit wherever He asked them to go. Whenever the clouds or the pillar of clouds during the day will move, then they will have to follow. They cannot just choose another way. It is specific. God's leading is sufficient, but it is specific. It is not a leading that will just lead you anyhow and anywhere you want. They were here warned, beware of him. Now the idea of beware of him is not to scare them. In fact, this word beware of him, the idea here is the same as the word keep in verse 20. He says here, the angel of the Lord will be sent before thee, will go before you, he will lead you to keep thee in the way, to guard you. And so keep yourself also before him. That's the idea of beware of him. It's not like beware of dogs and you'll be scared and be frightened. Beware of him means to keep Christ, to keep the angel before you. To guard yourself that you be not lost. So God told them, yes, this angel will be leading you. He will be guarding you. But guard also yourself that you are always following this angel. You should be actively obeying. You should be actively following him. Because if you are not keeping awake, keeping yourself guarded, not to be distracted by the things beside or the things around, and then you somehow get lost of the leader, you'll be at a loss, you will not be led, you'll be outside of God's way. So he says, keep of him, guard yourself to follow him. And that is, of course, in relation to obey his voice. Obey his voice. Whatever he says, whatever he will tell you, whatever he will give you as instructions, you will follow. Don't just let it receive in your right ear and leave at the other side of your ears. You have to keep it. You have to understand it. You have to know. And that's what God wanted them to know, because when they are traveling in the wilderness, and if some of them will be going into another way, you know, it was a difficult plain, a desert for them. And if they are not under the pillar of clouds, it was so hot during the day. And if they are not also under the pillar of fire during the night, it was so cold. So they must be in that, within that habitat, within that place where God is with them. That's why the Lord here warns them, you have to keep yourself obeying, you have to keep yourselves following him, and provoke him not. The word provoke here is to make him not bitter against you. Don't make God angry. Don't make God be provoked that he will be bitter and he will do something against you. If you keep on disobeying, just like children, you know that. You keep on disobeying, you know that you were told not to do, and then after that you do it again, there will always be scolding and sometimes caning. Don't provoke him. Don't make him bitter against you. Because if you will sin against him, he says, he will not pardon your transgressions. He will not pardon. Now you say, is this the Christ? Is the Christ of the Old Testament different from the Christ of the New Testament? Because the Christ in the New Testament, remember, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Right? That's the Christ in the New Testament. The Christ in the New Testament asked the Father to forgive them, died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. But here the Christ, the angel of the Lord here, was an angel that will not pardon your transgressions. Is it different? We know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. That's the impeccability of God. He is not changing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same before, today, and after, and forever. And how come that the Bible says He will not pardon your transgressions? And then in the New Testament, He changed. He says, forgive them. Now, of course, we have to understand this in the context that God will not pardon your transgressions without just punishment. Because if God will pardon transgression without just punishment, just retribution, that is injustice. You understand that? Can you imagine like a thief or a robber or a murderer, and he's caught by the police, and then after that he will just cry to the police, "Sir, please, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. I thought it was just a dog, so I shot this man." You just say, "Okay, because you did not mean to do that, okay, you will be released from the prison, you will be forgiven without any punishment, without any just retribution." God will not do that. Every minor lies that we have, every thought that we have, the evil thoughts that we have in our minds, every evil thing, every sinful thing, you may think it is just a small thing. I just lied a little bit. I just stole $10. I just did this. I just punched him, and that's okay. Just a small thing. No, every sin that we have committed, remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said? Even if you look at a woman for the men, and we have that thought, that evil thought, that lustful thought, we have committed adultery with her. Even if we are angry with our brother without any cause, you're just like murdering him. So every simple as we may think, minor, small thing that we may think, it's okay, the Lord will not count it. No, every sin that we committed must be justly paid. There is no forgiveness. That is injustice before a holy and just God. Everyone, everything must be punished. And that's why it takes the Lord Jesus Christ to come, to become man like us, in order to receive this punishment. Every minute detail of the sin that we have committed was punished in the Lord Jesus Christ. He received it. God will not forgive any transgressions, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, because He paid it all for us, we all are forgiven. It was justly paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we have to see this and remind ourselves of this. Because sometimes we take sin lightly. We take sin lightly as if, you know, God loves me, and so when I do this, God will just, like a father who will just wink at me. Or a mother will just, some kind of toddlers or children who will do some mischievous things, and they will just say, Oh, cute, so cute. Cute. Sometimes we do that, and we think, oh, that's okay. And before God, we think also like that, right? It's just a minor thing. I just watched something like this. I just did this thing, small thing. God will not bother to think of me as a sinner. He loves me. Yes, but it was done. It was all paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered every inch, every ounce of the punishment that we deserve. And that's part of His leading. He says, take care that you are before Him or after Him, or you're following Him, And take note of his voice, his words. Don't make him bitter and angry against you. For if he will do that, he will not pardon you. Thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ came. And for us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we all are forgiven. Not because God winked at our sins. It was all because he paid it all for us. God will lead us specifically. And if God demands from you that specific thing, don't try to make yourself to have some alibi. I remember this testimony of a boy who really wanted to come and study in FEBC. And he knew that that was the calling for him. He knew and he dreamed of it. He longs for it because he felt that God really calls him to be a pastor, a preacher. But the mother doesn't want him to study in a Bible school. There's other plans for this boy, because this boy somehow is among the siblings, among the children, he was quite obedient to the mother. So the mother loved him so much that she don't want this boy to just go and become a preacher. And he continues to say, oh, there's no money in being a pastor. There's no money in being a preacher. You better take other courses or other degrees. But the boy keeps on saying, Mom, this is my calling. So he did not stop in just, of course, he has to submit to the mother, because the mother says no. But he keeps on praying and asking God, Lord, please, this, if you want me, then let me obey. But let me not disobey my parents. I have to honor my mother. But I have to pray and ask that you will change her heart. Until there came a time that the mother says, okay, you can go. And when the mother told him, he just immediately informed me. I wanted to buy a ticket for him so that he can come immediately. And the mother called, because the mother was working in somewhere in the Middle East as a domestic helper. The mother says, can you just extend a bit so that I can come home to our country and see my boy before coming to the Bible college? And indeed, I said, okay, I was supposed to have to book him that day, but I postponed it and make it, I think, a day or 2 days after she arrived in the Philippines. And the boy submitted to the will of the mother, kept on asking her. The Lord provided the way, and after that, he came. And the mother is so happy with the decision of the boy. For some of the details, you can ask Carl Vincent for that. I mean, there is a specific way. There are ways that our parents might see us. Okay, you have to do this. They are leading you. Of course, for parents, they don't want you to, like, because a mother saw that this is the life of a pastor, no money, keep on asking. I mean, that's for the third world countries. So, she wanted a good life for her son. But the will of God is specific, that showed him, this is where God leads me. And submitting to the mother, submitting also to God's will, in God's timing, allowed him to come and study in FEBC. There is a specific way. It may be in some other ways, a way which will take time, but there is only one way. You cannot say that, oh, this I choose this way and God will be pleased with this. I choose that way. There is only one way. And for them, they have to follow God. And there is only one direction. There is only one place. There is only one promised land for them. They have to go to Canaan. They don't have to go to Egypt. They don't have to go to Syria. They don't have to go to other place. But there is a promised land for them. You keep yourself after me, and then you obey my voice. And then God will just cause you to end up in the place where He assigns you to be. Be careful not to provoke Him, because He will surely not pardon. As Christians, we understand how the Lord Jesus Christ suffered for us. We thank Him. For indeed we have here, "For my name is in Him. Who honoreth the Son, honoreth the Father. For indeed Jesus says, I am and my Father are one." So when Christ leads, it is sufficient. But it is a sufficient leading in a specific way. It's not in other ways. They cannot just anyhow go into other ways. God has a way for them. And it is also true for us today. There is only one way, and it is God's way. And here in verses 22 and 23, we have to also see that when God leads, although we know it is sufficient and it is in a specific way, but we have also security in Him. He says here, the word here, "but" and "for" in 22 and 23 are the same words. Words that can be translated also as "because." Of course, the translators here are correct in using "but" because it is in contrast with verse 21. But the context is the same. For the reason. For this reason. This idea. For this reason. If you indeed obey His voice. And this word "obey His voice" here is a phrase in the Hebrew grammar that gives us the idea that if you will surely obey. I think you are well aware of the words in Genesis chapter 3 where God says, if you will do this, you will surely die. So in the Hebrew, it says, you die the death. So here the words also is, if you will obey, to obey. That's this idea. If you will surely obey His voice. If you will surely obey and do all that I speak, do all that I command you to do, I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. I will be their foes. You will not be fighting against them. I'll be at the forefront to fight against them. The battle is of the Lord. You will just hide behind Him. This was the assurance that God gave to them. You'll have your enemies. You can hide at His back and God will fight for you. And you will see this in many battles of the Israelites against their enemies. You remember how they have fought against the city of Jericho, where they didn't even have to do anything and the walls just crumbled down. You can look at the many battles that they have encountered in the Old Testament, and you will see that it was God who fought for them. Indeed, if thou in obey, surely obey, if you will obey to obey His voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. I will be their foes. I will be the one to fight for you. I'll be the one leading you. I'll be there in front of you before they will touch you. I will be there to shield you. What a wonderful promise of God to the people of Israel. And this is the same promise that He has for us today. And He says also, I will be an adversary unto thine adversaries. It is interesting that the word here used for adversary is the word for rival. You know, when you have a rival, like if you have a rival company or a rival business, you must make sure that you will be at the edge, or you will be gaining. You will have more than what they have. You will have, like, just like the political parties that we heard just a few days, you have all the social media, TikToks and whatever, in order to attract the attention of the young generation. They all have these things because they are rivals. They want to get more, and they want to take advantage of many of the social media in order to get the votes of the people. He says, I will be here like a rival to them. Meaning, make sure that you will be always at the advantage. You will benefit, you will gain, you will have always the upper side. That's the promise of God. So this is, there is security because God will fight for them. God will also prosper them. And God, in verse 23, he says, surely you will take that place. You will occupy that place, because at the end of verse 23, you will see, I will cut them off. And the word cut them off here is the idea of I will efface them, I will remove them, I will erase them. And that's what you see now in Israel. Of course, there are still some parts of Israel that are occupied by Gentiles, but we know how Israel controls the land. In fact, when the Lord Jesus Christ will come, even greater geographical location will be occupied. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. He will cut them off. It's not saying that you will cut them off. You will fight and you will kill them. You will cast them away. He says here, I will cut them off. It is God who will do these things for them. And this is his leading. He will not just say, okay, you go this way, you follow me, and then you climb up, and then you go down, and that's the land. That is not leading here as Christ describes, or as what the Bible says about Christ leading. He says, I will be before you, and to show thee in the way to keep you, but I will also make you go into the path that I have prepared for you. You don't have to go other ways. And then you will end up in the place I have prepared for you. Surely, you will be protected. You will be preserved. You will end up there intact. We know that there were others who died in the wilderness. Those were the people who provoked God. Those were the people who make God bitter against them. They died in the wilderness. Why? Because they did not believe in God. You can remember in Exodus 32, this account where they questioned God because of these spies, 10 spies, who says, oh, we cannot go in. It's difficult. There are great giants, walls, great walls. We better go back to Egypt. That is provoking God. And because of that provocation, all of those 20 upwards, they were not able to enter, of course, except Joshua and Caleb. They were not able to enter the land. Why? They provoked God. There is no pardon. We thank God that through the Lord Jesus Christ, we are pardoned. We are forgiven. And we can continue on following Him in His leading. And God will show us the way clearly and will make the way for us so that we will end up in the place where He prepares for us. The Lord Jesus Christ promised to every believer, I will go to prepare a place for you. And there, when I made that place prepared, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. That's the promise of God. That's the promised land for every Christian. That's a promised place. Are you looking forward to that promised land? If you are a born again believer, if you are truly a Christian, you are looking forward to that place. If you are not, then you are just thinking it is just a dream. It is just fantasy. It is just imagination. It is just fairy tale. And you don't want to believe it. And somehow, somewhere, you will just like those in the wilderness before. You will just die down in the wilderness. You cannot enter into that land because you do not believe in it. Christ leads sufficiently, but there is a specific way. And when you follow and obey Him, surely there is a secured way. And you will end up truly in the place where He wants you to be. I remembered one time in my experience in the secular world, I was made to join a team of researchers to look on some wildlife research. And so we had to observe them for the whole year. And during winter, because that was in a temperate countries, we have to go out in the field. And that place, sometimes there are snowstorms. And when there are snowstorms far north of Japan, some snows near the forest, they are not just inches. It's sometimes 3 feet or 4 feet high. So when there are snowstorms, we are told, okay, you just find a near a tree, sit down, then we are given a tent, just stay there until it will end up. And then after it will end, then you have to go. And of course, while waiting, we were supplied with Kit Kat. While waiting, take a break, take a Kit Kat. That's the theme that we have. So, after a few, I think it was about an hour plus, or almost 2 hours. So when it died down, I felt there was no more snow, so I tried to go out or come out from the tent. And I saw the place, it was like the whole plain was just snow. I don't know, I cannot identify where's the path where I should go. I cannot even see where's the road. It was totally like, I was so scared. Where will I go? How to navigate towards the place for our meeting place? How can I go back to that place? Thank God we were provided with GPS. Now, GPS in those days, I'm not that old, but in our days when we have research in GPS, we have to a big piece of, you know, not the GPS in the phone today, but a big block of, you know, GPS. And then we have to put up some antenna, okay, to catch. I don't know if you are familiar with Teletubbies. No, it's just like that. Because we have to catch the signal in those days, okay, not today. So we have to do that. I have to assemble and do. And I thank God that there in the, you know, it was a big piece of instrument, but I saw clearly where I should go, because there the picture and the direction, the picture was taken during the summer. All I saw around was snow. I cannot identify where's the road, where's the canal, where's the field, where the bridge. I don't know, but I just followed there, look at the GPS as if I was walking on summer days, because I saw it. You know, when we are in Christ, the world will be so dark, the world will be so full of turmoil, of so many confusion, many things that would disturb us, confusing things. But if you are in Christ, you are like having this guide with your book, you know where you end up. Why? Because He says, I will bring you to that place prepared for you. And if this God who prepared that place will lead us to that place, He knows. He's the one who prepared that. If it is not true, I would have told you. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's what Christ said. And so we have to trust in Him. He is leading us to the way. Yes, in our lives, we need leaders. We need leaders in our schools. We need leaders in our families, our fathers, husbands and leaders. In the church, we have pastors and deacons, elders who are the leaders. In our government, there are MPs and our prime ministers who lead the country. But above all, they may have good leadership. Thank God for the good leadership, good governance here in Singapore. But there is the best leader that would lead you to end up in that prepared place. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ alone. There is no other leader that can put you there exactly in the place that He has for you, because He's prepared it for you. Don't trust in the things in this world. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. He is leading us sufficiently. He is sufficient. Nothing is lacking. But make sure you are specifically following Him. Don't just follow your own heart. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely, securely, you will end up in the way God, or the place God has prepared for you. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou art our God who is our leader. Indeed, Thou hast sent Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to lead Thy people in the wilderness. And through today, You are leading us. Thou hast given us Thy Spirit indwelling in us, and we know also that we have the mind of Christ to discern where to go. And we thank Thee, Lord, that Thou art our God who prepares a place for us, that where You are, there we be also with Thee forever and ever. O Lord, help us to be convicted of this truth. Help us not to deny on this truth and rely on our own, but submit ourselves unto Thee and to follow Thee. For Thou hast sent Thy Son not only to lead us, but even to forgive us of all our sins, so that surely we can enter in that holy habitation in Thy kingdom in heaven. We pray and give You thanks for all these things. In Jesus' name, Amen.